Got all my gear together here, ready to go. It's good to be with you guys again. Some of you, I noticed, have been doing a little creative switch-up in terms of your seating choices. I'm getting a little disoriented here, but that's all right. Keep me on my toes. I know what you're doing. That's all right. Shepherds and sheep. We've come all the way through this book. Now we're in the last chapter here, 1 Peter chapter 5. And that's what these first five verses are all about. There's some wonderful material, and we're going to try to unpack it best of our ability, about the role of an elder in shepherding the flock. And then there is some stuff about sheeping. So there's stuff about shepherding and there's stuff about sheeping. And so that means there's stuff in here for all of us. But we won't get to it all today because I really want to take my time with this as we prepare for a new shepherd that will be coming on the scene here in, I don't know, 7 or 8 weeks, something like that. So let's pray and then we'll read these verses and let the Lord lead us then through at least the first section of this. I think it'll be about a three-part series, actually, on these five verses. So I hope you relax and just let me unwind a little bit. It's going to be rather reflective. It'll be like, you know, a country preacher, old guy like me, just being himself and depending on God for everything else. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this incredible privilege to stand before your people and open your word. I really was inspired, touched, and moved by the Andrew Murray reading that Kevin started our service with, as well as the set of worship songs that we have sung together. The prayer that was offered by Brother Tom. So, Lord, we do come together into your holy presence, and we are, just like Andrew Murray, talking about abiding in the vine, we are weakness. I am weakness. Here is weakness, O Lord, as you know. And I give myself to you and to your strength, and I ask for your presence and your power to do those things that we cannot do, to understand. And to grow in our faith in your dear Son, who is our Lord and Savior. So bless this time in your word. May the people of God be encouraged, lifted up, and edified in the things that are said and done here. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders. We'll just take notice of this. This is an exhortation. It's directed quite plainly, to a certain group of people. It isn't really for everybody in that reading group, in that local church, this particular exhortation. And so it's an appeal to the will for a certain group of people. And I thought it might be helpful, and lest I forget, because, you know, when you get old, you forget stuff. I talked about it last week, and we saw it in evidence. We have elders here at Oakwood Bible Church. So I would think that it would be an appropriate time for us just to rehearse for a moment. You may know them. I assume that you do, but not absolutely certain that all of you do. And I just want to name them so that they may know to whom this exhortation is addressed. Now, again, there are things here for all of us to grow in our understanding, but the specific appeal to the will is for this group called elders. We're going to get into what is an elder and what is this exhortation and how can it be done and how should it be done in a biblical way. So we're talking here today about Jordan Bessert. Are you here, Jordan, or maybe you're somewhere taking care of kids and stuff? I did see him earlier. Oh, he's there. There's Jordan. He's up there. Ron Crowfoot, he's a man of tradition, as you can see. He will not change that position. I will always know where he is, where he will sit. And that's great comfort to me. I appreciate that, bro. You my anchor up in here now today. In that way, we have Ron Crowfoot. We have Tom. Tom, where are you? Oh, there you are. Again, a very steady performance on seating. Unfortunately, Gary, as you know, has been in a sense laid aside with his dear wife. And I hope perhaps he may have an opportunity to see and to hear the things that we'll say and teach. And we know, I want you to know, Gary, that we are, of course, praying for you and for your whole family during this time. Tim Peterson, where did he go? He's around here somewhere. He's just watching out for us. That's part of the role of an elder. let's see, where am I? And John Ruzza. These are the elders that, at least those are the names on the list that I just read to you. And I believe that's accurate. I've known these men now for about 15 months, and it's been a privilege to get to know them better and better. And it's a great time for us to think about this, the role of the elder within the congregation as this leadership shift is about to take place. So here's Peter. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're back to verse 1. And he's laying a command, it's an appeal to the will, to a certain group within these local churches, among whom this letter would have first been circulated. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory, a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. And here is the admonition. It's quite simple. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. How is this done? He gives some, qualifications here. The manner in which the shepherding is done, exercising oversight, further developing this idea, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. So here it is. Here's the admonition. Here's the appeal to the will. For elders within the local church, shepherd the flock of God. Now, first he gives his own credentials, right? He takes a moment, a little parenthesis, and he says, "Well, this is Peter now. I want you to know, I exhort elders among you as a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." So here's just a few things about Peter. I too am an elder. There are things here also about shepherding. He's modeling shepherding in the way that he writes this, okay? He's establishing common ground. I want you to understand, I'm one of you all. together we are elders in the body of Christ, and we exercise this role as colleagues, in fellowship one with another, depending on one another, not one person taking undue, if you will, inappropriate levels of dominance within the relationship. No, we are elders, all of us. I think that's a beautiful thing, signaling, of course, this beautiful quality of humility that Peter later in verse 5 says, all of you, really, all of you, come on, humble yourselves in your relationships one with another. So I'm an elder just like you are. I remember when I came here, in June of 2019, just for a candidating weekend. It was my first time out as an IPM, pastor. We met as a congregation. I spoke that morning. I believe it was in June of 2019. Could have been July. I think June. And we also, as a part of it, we had a meeting with the church board. And in fact, Ron Crowfoot asked me a question at that meeting. Now, this is before I had actually been, you know, offered this opportunity, this incredible gift, which it indeed has been to me here in my later years, to continue to be useful in the kingdom of God. We sat down, we talked about, well, what kind of an elder are you? He sort of wanted to know. How do you approach these kinds of relationships, working with a board and things like that? And it was a very good question. I remember telling him, I was trying to be, not really thinking of this verse in particular, but I wanted him to know and the other people in that boardroom that my approach to this would be like to make friends and stuff. I like to make friends. I don't want to just like, you know, become some sort of a, I don't know, a guy who leads from the top down. No, I think this needs to be done together. This whole process, we have to do all of this together. We have to be in that kind of relationship one with another. So it's collegial, my approach, relational, and that's what it's been. And I love to see this, in a way, affirmed. That's the right way to do this, says Peter. Make friends, be in real relationships with each other. Establish common ground, not just authority. Commonality. We're all trying to follow Jesus here. I'm an elder. He also said, I'm a witness. Well, we have our testimony, don't we? He was someone who had this incredible testimony, apostolic in the apostolic sense. He was there with Jesus. He walked in that beautiful country with the Lord for years. But he particularly makes mention of his sufferings. I was a witness to his sufferings. He saw the things that were done to Jesus, etc. And there is that kind of chronological, if you will, historical witness that he's referring to, no doubt about it, but he's also talking about telling his story. I'm somebody who has a tendency to witness, that is to proclaim the truth concerning Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, and with a particular emphasis on the cross, the work that he has done, which certainly is encased within the meaning of this term, his sufferings. I was a witness of those things. So I'm your brother. I am one like you who has my own story of salvation through Jesus, and I am familiar, intimately familiar with what Jesus has done. And then also, I am a partaker. Now, I read an article this morning. I don't always do this. I was up early, and well, there it was, sitting on one of my screens. And it was from the U.S. World News and World Report, of all things. It attracted me, the title of the article, and it was about hope. This is Mental Health Week or something, I don't know, yesterday or next Saturday, I'm not sure. It's World Mental Health Day or something. And this was a really well-written article that put together all of these like authoritative voices in the field of mental health talking about hope and how important foundational hope is in mental health. People without hope obviously struggle in so many other ways. So it's a very important piece. It has to do with the way they defined it in the article. It has to do with this engagement of the will, taking on responsibility for one's life, as it were, and engaging, using one's agency, that was actually the terminology, to secure preferred or desired ends, setting goals, that kinds of things, and having a positive attitude that goal is actually within my competence to achieve, etc. Well, I think for the Christian, we have to take a slightly different view on hope. Hope is just as important, obviously, for us. We, when we are born again, okay, into this new creation that we become in Christ, we are born into a world of hope. And this is what Peter's talking about here when he says, I am a partaker in the glory which is to be revealed. And this actually distinguishes us experientially from those who do not know the Lord. Because just like Peter, we are not depending on our own agency to get ourselves to some desired state in the future. No, indeed, what we are experiencing is the certainty that our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has died and risen again and who lives within us in the power of the Holy Spirit, that very reality is a part of our daily experience. And we are partakers. His next letter, he does a lot with this idea, does Peter, and you will already have hurried to the phrase that has just occurred to me, partakers of the divine nature. So, yes, that is ours. Our position, if you will, on the calendar of events, eschatologically, forgive me, that big word about how things are going to get all wrapped up in the end and how God will make everything right. Our very position on that calendar is a position of hope, because we don't have to wait to its consummation for us to experience the hope that is indeed our legacy in Christ. And I like that. That's what Peter's enjoying. So just like you, I'm an elder. Just like you, I'm a witness. Just like you, I'm a partaker now of the glorious reality that will be fully revealed in the coming of the Lord. All those things belong to us. So those, in a way, are his credentials, and we take note of those in the first verse. Then he goes on to talk a little bit more specifically about what an elder is, what an elder is to do, and how he is to do it in this next section. And that's what I'd like to address here in the 10 minutes or so that remain. I want to begin with, I guess, just a few new terms. It's a good place to start. We'll start with a few words. We're backing up from this specific context a little bit and taking a wider view. Now, this is for the benefit of all of us to have an understanding of what it is to be an elder, etc., within the body of Christ. And these three terms, and the one that's used here is a presbyter, presbyteros. You know, some of us have... It's gone way, way downhill since then, but I remember when I first needed reading glasses and the ophthalmologist informed me that I have a condition that's well known. It's called presbyopia. And having had some background in Greek, I knew exactly what he was talking about. That means old man eyes. It's gone downhill. That was 20 years ago. I still, and so on. But I still can see, and I'm so thankful by the grace of God. That's that word. That's that word in Greek. And when that term is used, it's talking about the integrity, of both the office and of the person who inhabits that office. That's where the focus is in the use of this particular term. It's about the office, and it's about the person inhabiting that office. Now, there's a second word, and that is the word translated in most of our... Sometimes you will see overseer. I'm not sure what it is in your particular translation that you prefer. But here we have episkopos. Now we're looking at the function, and it's in the second clause right there. If I could, I might... take a risk and see if this works. Oh, it's going to... I'm going to get confused, and I shouldn't have done this, but here we are. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. So both of those words, you see. Oh, I even have this cool thing right here. Let's see if I can make that work. Exercising oversight. You see, I got a gizmo. Exercising, shepherding, exercising oversight. Those are those two words that we're talking about here. Now we'll have to jump down and see if I can find where I was. Episkopos. Uh-oh. That's going to take a while. This was not a good strategy. But we talked about elder, episkopos, overseer. Okay, and literally, if you look at, that's a compound Greek noun. And it has epi, which means over, and it has skopos, right? scope things out. That's the kind of the root idea from Greek. So you're looking over. It is the function of overseer. And thirdly, we have the word pastor. Now, you may be surprised to learn that these terms are used almost interchangeably in the New Testament to describe that same group of people who are called elders. Now, when he says, in fact, shepherd the flock of God, he's saying pastor the flock of God. It's exactly the same word. Pastor the flock of God. That's what it is to be a shepherd. Now, that it's used in a noun form once in the New Testament. Pastor, teachers, Ephesians 4, I think verse 11, when that list of office gifts that are given to the body of Christ. This is not the, although that is the noun form that you see there, but still in the text, right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, it is shepherd. It's a verb form. But at any rate, all three of these words are and can be and should be used interchangeably. They all bring their own nuance emphasis, okay? In the first place, you have the office, the person. You have the function. And here's another aspect of functioning. So elders pastor, are called to pastor the people of God. I think I have enough time to just do this last bit, and that is to show you that elder and bishop are exactly the same, that they are interchangeable. And this is in Paul's farewell address, Acts chapter 20, to the Ephesian elders, and just reading a couple of verses. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church to come to him. And now he's praying with these elders, and he is giving them a final exhortation, and here's what he says in verse 28 to the same group of elders that he has called to be with him. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, that's episkopoi, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. Elder, verse 17, the word is used, elder, verse 28, episkopos. Sometimes translated bishop, by the way. See, the reason that we have to go kind of carefully through these things and just kind of lay them out systematically, as it were, is because all of these words in the way that they are used have been associated with various traditions, denominationally, etc., in the history of the church and associated with various forms of church government, etc. So we have a lot of this cultural baggage and so on that has been added to the plain meaning of the words, and that's why I'm being careful. You should know that bishop and elder are exactly applied to the same people. Here's another example for that. Titus chapter 1, in verse 5, this is why I left you in Crete. He's talking to Titus, this young pastor, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Now, without even skipping here, he goes right on to utilize the word episkopos for an overseer, a bishop, depending on your translation, you see, but it's the same word, it's the same office, elder and bishop. For an overseer, a bishop, as God's steward, must be above reproach. And he goes on with the qualifications of what it means to be an elder and how one must be evaluated in approaching that position. Now, there you have it. These are the three terms. They're used interchangeably. Next week we'll go on, and I want to actually, and I'll give you just a little look at where we're going to go. I had hoped to get here today, but I just don't want to rush and get out of breath. I want us to take our time. So I'll have our musicians come even right now. And while they're doing that, we'll prepare to close the service with a hymn. And then I'm actually going to come back and pronounce a benediction this morning to give a little more orderly dismissal to our service. So come on. Yeah, he's actually getting done before 12. We're going to look at the origins of the office of elder. 179 references are made to elders in the Old Testament. And it is a very rich source for us to gather understanding in terms of what we may be called to do as elders in the body of Christ today. And we're going to start with Exodus 3:16. You can take a look at it if you want in advance, because that is the first mention. This is where we run into the elders of Israel for the very first time. Exodus 3:16. So until next week, thank you.